he was planning his birthday party with me. And his greatest sadness was the fact that there were not going to be people that he could touch. And he's really missing that. So knowing that about him is really key to loving him, to know that for him, that touch is important. But maybe for another one of my littles, that she's super content with a different form of relationship. We're learning about each other.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together.
Welcome back to More Than Small Talk. This week, we are talking about what does being close really mean, which I think is something we've all had to think about in a new way over the past few months, because we have not been able to be physically close to each other, and yet we all know connection still matters. We still want to be close to people. So we wanted to do a deep dive into that subject with you.
Yeah, confession, question time. I'm pretty excited about this. What does it mean to you to be close to someone?
I think for me, being close to someone means that I'm on their heart or they're on my heart. You know, a lot of times I am not someone who picks up the phone and calls. I'm not always someone who'll be on Vox, you know, or text, but it's just checking in and just letting someone know, hey, I'm thinking about you today. Something that made me super happy on my birthday on our More Than Small Talk Facebook group, they all know that I love cake. And so this happened last year too. They all said, I hope you have cake. And then one of them said something about lipstick, just all of these things that say, gosh, you know me. Like, you feel like you know me. I feel like I know you. And it's just the most precious thing in the world to just feel known by someone, even though maybe we've never met face to face, but we still feel that connection just because of sharing little things about our lives.
Yeah. And you had a birthday parade, right?
No, I didn't. No.
You had, I saw people out in front of your house. Maybe you just had a birthday stop by.
Everybody stopped by on the day that I had no makeup on. And worst, they showed up the day before my birthday and just, you know, visited for a while, bought me donuts and those kind of fun things. So, yeah.
Okay. It looked like a parade on social media. So I keep seeing those in my neighborhood. Yeah. And I just love the idea of that for sure. I think what it means to me to be close is that when everything else shuts down, they will try to connect with me somehow, you know, face to face. So, and I think that's when I think about the people showing up outside of your house with donuts. But I had some friends the other day that I was in my office working, and I can see out my window. I'm sitting there right now. And I looked over and my phone started buzzing just as they drove up, and they set out underneath the tree and said, come out. We just need to see you. So I stood back 10 feet. They sat in the car, my two friends, Angie and Cynthia, and we just chatted for like 20 minutes. I was barefoot. You know, there was a good chance that I wasn't dressed properly. But we just talked, and they both said, we haven't seen you in weeks because of all of this going on, and we just had to see your face. And that made it felt really close and good.
Didn't that make you cry? I was surprised just seeing people's face that I've seen a million times before, but just seeing them on my doorstep that day, it made me cry just because I miss you, you know?
Yeah. It was awesome. I mean, it really was awesome. And Richard and I, we went to some friends that we haven't seen during all of this lack of normalcy, and stopped by and got a sweet treat and just dropped it on her doorstep. And again, hanging back for 10 feet and just talking through the door, it was good.
Yeah, and we had an interesting conversation when we were prepping for the show about how we think our love language is influence this. Yeah. Because mine are words and quality time. Yeah. So I feel close to people if I'm sitting across from you face to face and we are having a conversation we're fully engaged in. Yeah. And so I am a big fan of Zoom because I feel like I get the best of socializing without any of the small talk or times when I'm with people that I walk away feeling really disconnected or, yeah. you know, and so that almost feels awkward to me, you know, that I actually have really liked being intentionally connected with people where yeah. all we do is have that like yeah. intense conversation, even if it's over Zoom. And yeah. I mentioned that I think part of that is I grew up away from my grandparents. And I had a dad who traveled for work. And they did a really good job of helping me feel like being close to someone isn't about being in the same room.
Yeah.
And so I'm used to having people that I love, you know, most in the world far away. Like I see my parents a handful of times a year and I wish it were more, but at the same time, I still feel really close to them. Mm-hmm. So I think this time is interesting because it sort of helps us realize what really makes us feel close. Like, Suze, you need to be in the same physical space with people, and I need to have you across from me, even if it's only on video. Like, yeah. you know, so yeah. I could spend all day with you, and if we never connected in that way, I would go home not feeling close.
Yeah.
So it's yeah. just interesting to pause and say, what is that? Because I think it's different for all of us.
Yeah. Well, but appreciating that is really nice. I was taking a walk, again, social distancing, you know, and hopefully, you know, we record in advance. And so it's going to be interesting to see what the world is like when this comes out. Will we still be social distancing? Will we still, that I was riding bikes with one of my littles and, you know, he's 10 feet away, one of my grandsons. And he was planning his birthday party with me. And his greatest sadness was the fact that there were not going to be people that he could touch. And he's really missing that. So knowing that about him is really key to loving him, to know that for him, that touch is important. But maybe for another one of my littles, that she's super content with a different form of relationship. We're learning about each other, don't you think?
Yes, I do. And thinking about what's made you feel the most loved, you know, during this time and the most connected.
Wow. I've been in such a place of being loved for months now. Yeah. You know, for those of you who don't know, in November of 2019, I found out on a Thursday that my cancer had returned from years ago. So I went to a double mastectomy in January. My husband, 3 days after I found out I had cancer, he had a massive heart attack, healthy guy. We didn't see it coming. And so he went through double bypass surgery. And then just as we were starting to feel normalcy, we got hit with the global pandemic. So we have been in a place of not normal for months. And we have felt very, very loved. And what I realize is love is kindness. To me, love is kindness. And it does not have to be big. In fact, big is kind of overwhelming to me. Little just makes a whole lot of difference.
I feel loved when someone chooses to spend intentional time with me.
Yeah.
The kind of time I was just describing. Not just hanging out, but like, let's get to the deep stuff and really connect. That's how I feel loved and known.
Yeah. Don't you think relationships take a ton of work? Like, kind of like marriage or, I mean, any relationship that is significant. Don't you think that relationships take a ton of work?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I've taken, as much as I'm a loving person and I love my friends, I wonder if I've taken, you know, all of you for granted. There's times that, you know, because you just assume they're always going to be there, but, and not being able to sit at that coffee shop or, you know, go on a walk together, or do these different things that we used to do. I just want to make sure I'm loving people well, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I keep seeing these memes that come up on social media, and I weigh them. And it talks about relationships maybe that are one-sided, and you realize that when there takes effort for you to come together, or relationships that are superficial, and yet when you hit that, you know, that hard road, all of a sudden those relationships go away. So I think that looking at what makes relationships close without placing heavy expectations on relationships, just saying, what goes into the making of a close friendship, and yeah, how can I on my side recognize when it's really not, or how can I recognize when I can be a better friend?
Right. And not assuming that we know what other people want, you know?
I don't.
Like even talking, you know, in our show prep, Susie, your love language is touch. And I thought, I need to hug Susie every time I see her.
I'll take it.
You know, and it doesn't make any difference to me. Like, I don't need touch and I don't need gifts. Like, I don't need anything tangible,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But it's so helpful to know that about you, because yeah, I would have assumed it was words because you're a writer.
And words,
that's
actually,
how I tend,
yeah,
to love you, you know, and you were saying, well, you know, that doesn't really do much for me.
It doesn't.
And so that's so helpful to know, because
yeah,
I can absolutely hug you every time I see you. I
yeah
just didn't know.
Yeah.
So.
But I can also share my needs. That's the thing, is I can also share, yeah, what, you know, and this is like with words. It's so funny because years ago when I took the whole 5 love languages test, and I realized it wasn't surprising to me that touch was my love language and quality time was right underneath there. But words being the very last surprised me until I sat down and thought about it. And I thought, anytime that somebody comes up and they're like, oh, you're this or you're that, or even in a job, like that was the best. And in my heart, I'm thinking, oh, that's really nice. Thank you for saying that. That's so kind. But I don't need it.
Right.
I don't need it. And so, but I promise you that Sunday morning when my husband and I were sitting on the couch and we're watching church together, and he reaches over and he just holds my hand, it was like, that meant so, so much. Or when my grandson Josiah stands across from me 6 feet and says, Gaga, I hate this pandemic because I can't hug you. And then he pretends and leans in and gives a virtual hug. You know, like that fills me up. So knowing what fills me up is one thing, but also, like you said, Holly, learning about others. So Holly, like how can we love you best?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have intentional time together, and that you like this to me counts as intentional time, because
awesome,
we're face to face, even if we're in our own separate houses and have
yeah
been for months now.
Yes.
Yeah, we're talking about things that matter. We're talking about things that are more than small talk. Like that's basically it for me. I don't
yeah
care if you ever give me a gift. I don't care if you ever touch me. I don't care if you do anything for me. I just need to sit across from you and have meaningful conversation. And I'm good. Like,
well,
that's
but that's
it.
So
done.
Good to know. You know, so like I wonder if somebody might take this and truly sit across from somebody that they're close to and say to them, what makes you feel close? What fills you up? And you might be surprised at that. And I think that we spend a lot of times trying to fill people up with things that fill us up.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And like, if I was trying to touch you all the time, Holly, like, here, give me a hug. No, stay away.
I mean, I wouldn't mind it.
If yeah,
you,
I know.
You know. I'd be like, okay, that's nice. Like how you are about words. That's how
yeah
I feel about hugs. I'd be like, that's nice. Susie,
that's nice.
You yeah know, that feels good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I don't know, Jennifer, what about you?
I think that a few days ago, I dropped off donuts at my sister's house.
There's a donut theme going on.
There's a carbs donut going on with us. So I wanted donuts. I went out and got myself, but I got some for my nieces. One of my nieces was having a hard time that day. I was like, oh, I need to go take her something. And love languages, I mean, food seems to always say I love you, right? So I just left it on their doorstep with a little note and just, hey, I'm thinking about you. Well, then the next week, my niece dropped some off for me. And then I'm like, just knowing someone. And then just saying, hey, I thought about you. And it's never anything massive, but them showing up with flowers and donuts before my birthday, made me feel loved. It just did. So I think anytime someone says, even if they text me and say, hey, I was thinking about you, how are you doing? Any type of checking in makes me feel loved. It just does.
Yeah. Well, can I flip this? Because it's what I tend to do is we're asking what helps us feel close, but isn't there value to knowing if we're in relationships that maybe are not healthy or good, and, you know, so that we can invest in those things that really are healthy and good for our life? I don't know. Is that worth talking about? I've been in places before to where I've realized that I'm in a one-sided relationship. And I come out of it, and I've hung in there because you're supposed to, and it's friendships, and you're supposed to love each other. And then I realized at the end that I was the only one in it, and that probably I should have gracefully exited before then.
Yeah. Well, I've had it happen that I just didn't realize, like I said, I'm an introvert. And so calling someone over the phone or even texting, I don't always initiate. And with a best friend that I've had for 20 years, it's very important to her that we talk on the phone. And so I've made that when she calls, I pick up because that matters to her. And so I've had to do friend maintenance things with people who are so worth it. And those one-sided relationships, don't they just seem to kind of fade off into the distance if you're not doing the effort, right?
Yeah, but see, that's me. I'm putting the effort in. I just keep doing it because I think you're supposed to, and I think it's the right thing to do. And then I find myself, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road, and I don't know. There may be a line there that for me that the Lord and I need to get together on, because I want to love people well.
Right.
But I also want to be wise enough to know when I'm not in a relationship that is close.
Yeah.
So as we're in this season where being close looks different, what are some practical ways that we can evaluate our relationships and love on the people who are there and maybe think, you know, maybe there's some changes that need to be made also?
When you know that something is very important to a person, it just takes a few minutes to do that, right? So I think that I might initiate a few more texts, you know, instead of just responding to them. More calls. But I think that I forget that, you know, that for some people that really means that I care about them if I check on them. You would think that I'd be better at that, being such a sensitive, like I'm very touchy and love to hug. So you would think that that would be an easy thing for me, but it just doesn't always come to mind. So maybe just making sure I show my people love in a way that they understand instead of the way that I understand, which is please give me a lot of grace because I'm going to mess it up.
Yeah.
And even asking that question, what makes you feel loved?
Yeah.
Sometimes relationships really are one-sided. I think sometimes people are trying to love us in their way, and so we don't feel it. Like Mark would buy me windshield wipers to show me he loved me, and I'd be like, what? And so we had to learn, and now we go to Saturday morning breakfast dates and have done that for like almost all our marriage now. But that fixed it, you know, because I was like, all right, you're across from me. We're talking. We're connecting. I'm good. Yeah. And so I think asking that question can be helpful. And one thing I used to do that I think I need to get back to is in the context of my phone, I would use the notes section to write down anything someone said that told me about what they love. So if Jennifer was like, you know, I love donuts, I would put it in the notes. Or Susie said, I love cupcakes, I would put it in the notes. And so whenever I wanted to love on that person, I would pull up my little list and say, all right, you know. Good. Or if I hadn't seen them in a while and I was about to, I would pull it up and be like, okay, you know, this is what was going on in their life last time we were together. And so not being stalkerish, but being intentional about remembering what matters to the people I love.
Yeah. And I believe that I always want to go the extra mile in a relationship. I do. I love people. I love them so much. There's nothing that delights me more than watching somebody step into who they're meant to be. There's nothing that gives me more joy than connection and community. But I also, if I find myself in a place to where a relationship is toxic or hurtful, and not one-sided in the way that you just described, Holly, which was so good, but one-sided in the way that it's just not healthy, to give myself, I don't even know if the right word is permission, but to be able to honestly look at that and say, you know, I think it's okay to take a little bit of a right turn and invest in those relationships that are right in front of me, that are that may need a little work because I'm involved in it, you know, but just be honest about what is good and maybe what is not good or what is not healthy.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important to point out that there are times that I haven't loved people well because I didn't know. So I think that expressing that and just saying that to someone opens the door for a really close-knit conversation that I think matters. So yeah. I think that it's okay for us to ask that and ask that of each other and say, you know, hey, Holly, I'm going through something. Could you just like FaceTime me real quick, you know, just all yeah. Why are we so bad at asking for that? You know? So I think just maybe reaching out and asking those questions would be really helpful.
Yeah. And I think like what you said, Suze, right now we're social distancing for yeah. our physical health. I think sometimes we have to emotionally distance for the health of our hearts and our souls and our minds. Yeah. And so, you yeah. know, I think saying, okay, I need to stay 6 feet away from this person for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to maybe even, yeah, just saying what's a healthy distance in this. And sometimes that means, yeah, the relationship has had its season and you need to move on, or maybe it's, you need some space, but I think that's totally valid to say,
yeah.
we're talking about being close, but there are absolutely times that we need to distance
yes.
as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. Well, and this is who I am, is that I am such a huge believer in people. And I've had to realize that's a strength, but it can also be a weakness as I continue to pursue and try to keep a relationship going that is just not there. That's just not there. And to be able to say, you know what, this is not their fault. This is not my fault. It's just not meant to be. And that's okay. We can't be close to the entire world.
Yes.
You know, there's a circle around you that are the people that are planted in your life, and to say, I'm going to invest in them and I'm going to be open always to investing in relationships. But if it's unhealthy, if it's toxic, if it's something that I realize after a long time, man, this is just not supposed to be. To be strong enough to just say, you know, okay, I am going to distance from there, and not with any kind of anger or, you know, I'm going to give myself permission to do that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I think it's really just about being intentional in our relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have a resource, Jennifer. In fact, there's a whole chapter in your book about this.
Mm-hmm. In my book, Freedom, The Gutsy Pursuit of Breakthrough and the Life Beyond It, the last chapter is about healing sisterhood. And people have always asked me, why did you write that last? And I think to experience freedom and breakthrough, we need each other. So healing sisterhood has been a real thing in my life through Susie, through Holly, Carrie, all of these different relationships in my life that have, you know, just made me a better person and sharpened me. I just wanted a whole chapter to be about that. And why, if you want to go on a journey and you want your life to just grow and blossom, you've got to have your sisterhood. You've got to have your tribe. And so I just love that, because we really do heal together. It's not just about us.
Yeah. Well, and I believe that shoulder to shoulder, that we come together and we can make a powerful difference, not just in each other's lives, but in the world. And so I hope that you will come on over to the Facebook page, More Than Small Talk, where we connect and talk and get to know each other. And we'd love to see you there.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on klrc.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.